You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Anthony Kestrovince and Phil Rogers.
Hello, this is Phil Rogers, joined by Anthony Kestrovince with MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. And Jose Abreu, guy having a crazy year, but all of a sudden not hitting for the power that he had been lately. He's been interesting to me to watch him. He's been a 300 hitter in August, but hasn't had that home run in at the time of year when the ball normally flies at U.S. Cellular, but still really interesting to me to watch his approach almost a 400 on-base percentage in August, even though he hasn't really been driving the ball. But just as always, as he's been since opening day of the season, a must-see attraction in the American League. AC, when you look at the White Sox, what's jumping at you these days?
Well, Abreu always jumps out at you, and to your point, yeah. I mean, I guess what's impressive about that is even when the power is not there, the kid's still getting his hits. I think that shows how well he's adapted to this level. He's not just not just relying on his power game. There's more there, but the other thing that jumps out to me is, are they going to call up Carlos Rodon, their top draft pick from this past June, and all eyes, I guess, are on whether or not they bring him up in September, because that would be a certainly from the fans' perspective, that would be an intriguing piece to watch develop and grow. Let's bring in another intriguing piece, Scott Merkin, to talk about that. Scott, what's the outlook there as far as giving this kid a shot, in the season's final month?
First of all, I've definitely been called worse. But second of all, I think it would be more a surprise now if he wasn't called up than if he was at this point. I think it wasn't in his, from what I've been told, it wasn't in his contract that, he was guaranteed a shot at September or anything like that. But I think they told him pretty much a form of what they told Chris Sale back in 2010. And Phil probably remembers this as well, that Kenny Williams tells the whole story about how he was in the draft room and looking at another left-handed pitcher kind of warming up in the bullpen for the Sox. Not warming up, throwing a bullpen with Don Cooper down on the side. And he kind of turned to Doug Lauman and Nick Hostetler and the other draft experts for the Sox and said, if we draft Chris Sale, he could pitch for us this year. And they kind of looked at him shocked. And Kenny made that point to Chris later that day. And Chris came 2 months after he was drafted to the major leagues as a reliever. Now, from what I've been told, it sounds like Carlos would come up if he did get this chance 100% as a reliever. But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point along the way, like they did with him in Arizona and they did with him more so Winston-Salem, that they give him, a pitch-held start. Let's say you're going out there for 60 pitches, whether that's the first inning or whether that's five innings, that's what you're going to do. But I think he will be there in September, and it'll be interesting because I know they have him at least in the back of their minds, if not the forefront, as part of that rotation in 2015.
Hey, Merk, on that point, I think there are people like our Jim Callis and others who kind of look at baseball as a whole, not one team in particular, and see the White Sox not really in contention, which they were when they brought up Chris Sale, and would say, why would you start a guy that soon? Do you think it's just a matter of they want him to get his feet wet, get a little bit of confidence that he would take into spring training, get some of the newness out? What would be the purpose from the organization standpoint of taking a look at Rodon in September?
Yeah, I think a little bit on that sense, but this is something that I just think, and this is something that no one has told me on, off, or anywhere in between the record. And I think that this is a guy who they're building this kind of reshape, rebuild, whatever you want to call it, around, along with Sale and Abreu and Micah Johnson and, boy, I'm missing a name, Connor Gillespie's in there, Jose Quintana, Jake Petrischka. And I think it's a little shot in the arm for the team in terms of the fan base to say, here's the guy we got. We were lucky enough to get him. A lot of people thought that he was going number one, even, as recent as just a little bit before this draft, or maybe not just a little bit before, but sometime this season, people still had him as pegged as number one. So for him to fall to the Sox at three, it was a great boon. And I think they want to kind of put him on display a little bit. Now, this is only if he's ready. If for some reason he goes, he's starting in Charlotte, he's going to be in Charlotte. If for some reason he goes to Charlotte, he'll probably have a chance for three appearances there. And he just looks like that's it. He's hit a wall. Then they won't call him. It's not automatic. It's not 100% guaranteed. But I do believe that if he shows he's ready, he'll go up there. And they've shown that in the past with Gordon Beckham, Chris Sale, that, you know, starting that time clock is not as important to them as the player kind of. But Rick Hahn has said a couple of times, he will be up if it best serves his development. So that's what to keep in mind for this year.
Mark, another guy who came up, joined the team this month, and his timetable was quicker than you might imagine, was Vizquel Garcia after that torn labrum injury in April. You figure his year is over. I believe we talked about him recently, making a charge in AAA and looking pretty good on there. Now he joins the big league club. And just from being around him, everything he went through with that experience, what does it seem to have taught him, or what seems to be his outlook here for these last 6 weeks or so?
You know, he was never a downcast guy, if that's even a word. He never seemed, you know, sullen or anything like that, but he really seems even more so upbeat. And I can go back to when I sat with him to do an interview with him for our Father's Day story, I guess it was back in June. And when he first said, you know, I'm going to come back this year, and I kind of did a double take, and he said, no, that's my hope. And I think he's been upbeat since. And this is quite a fight that he's put through here. And, you know, credit to White Sox head athletic trainer Herb Schneider and Brian Ball, the assistant, and the many doctors that have worked with him, just the team in general. But a lot of credit to Avi Sayil, not only just the physical work he put in to get healthy, but how about the baseball work, to where the guy who hadn't seen live pitching aside from a simulated game since April 9th when he got hurt diving for the fly ball in Colorado, to hit 340 with Colorado and have hits in his first two games back with the White Sox, and look like he never missed a step. And that's a credit to all the intense baseball work that he put in along with the rehab work. As Robin said, you know, first guy in, last guy to leave during this whole, you know, four-month process. And he deserves a ton of credit. And he seems ready to go. I think he's very excited that he's going to get this month and a half. And no more excited than the White Sox, who, you know, have been able to answer questions themselves. And Avi Sayil has been able to answer questions in his mind as to how he was going to respond to this kind of injury, that, you know, the table was set at 3 to 6 months for return. So there'll be no doubts going into spring training next year. He's going to have 6 weeks of a bat, 6 weeks of primarily playing right field to see what he can be. And, you know, it's a great plus for the White Sox to have him either, you know, batting fourth behind Abreu, or Robin has even talked about having him hitting second because of the way he can move and his, you know, his style that he would fit in front of Abreu also. So it's really kind of left him with a huge positive mental outlook, and rightfully so. I mean, this is I don't want to say incredible, but a really admirable comeback the way he fought to get back this season.
Mark, how do you see the outlook for the White Sox possibly doing a waiver trade or two before the month of August is out? I mean, we haven't heard a whole lot about their players in those sort of trade talks, but it seems like they have a lot of veterans at the end. You know, the guy that jumps out, of course, is Adam Dunn. But, you know, beyond him, you know, there's some other guys. Do you think they could still be a seller here before August is over?
Yeah, Rick Hahn has said a number of times that they plan to be, you know, active in August. Now, you know, it's halfway through August and they haven't done anything yet, but there hasn't been a ton of August moves quite yet either. I think, you know, as another week goes by, another 10 days goes by, I think teams will start to see really and truly if, you know, the teams that are on the fringe right now, if they're still in it, if they still need a guy like Dunn who can reach the fences, who can get on base, who can, you know, make an impact with the bat to add to the lineup. And then you basically just have a month left of his salary. It would be a good thing for Adam. I talked to him the other day, and he, you know, kind of indicated that this may be it for him. This may be his last year. The man has never played in the playoffs. You know, great clubhouse guy, great influence overall. Anthony's covered him before, too, and I think it would be cool for him to get a chance to really fight for the playoffs. Now, he had that in 2012 with the White Sox and Robin's first year, and they came up short with a poor finish. But it would be good if some team that was really in it gave him a chance, if a deal could be worked out.
I was just going to say, any of us who have gotten to know Adam Dunn over the years, certainly rooting for him to get that shot. Never been a part of the postseason, and still value in that bat. You kind of know what you're getting at this point. You know, some boom or bust there, but you'll take the boom, I think, in today's game. So we'll see what he decides at year's end, but we'll see what the White Sox decide with him this month. But with that, I think we can wrap this up, this edition of MLB.com Extras. It's been Anthony Kastrovitz and Phil Rogers, along with Scott Merkin. I want to thank you for tuning in.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.